didn't have any.
Good morning. It is 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 26, 2009. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission at our regularly scheduled meeting. This is Kevin Kramer along with Commissioners Tony Clark and Brian Kalk. Any welcoming comments from my colleagues?
Good morning and welcome.
Also, and I appreciate the, we had a hearing yesterday in New Salem. It was very well received, I think, and appreciate all the work everyone's setting that up on staff.
With that, we entertain a motion for the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
With that, Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. Item TC1, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE09372, granting the request of 21st Century Ag Investments, LLC, DBA, Simcoe Grain Processors to operate a 185,000 bushel grain warehouse at Simcoe, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
This 21st Century Ag filed a license application to operate a 185,000 bushel warehouse at Simcoe. This is a facility which will specialize in processing peas, lentils, chickpeas, and beans. And who can tell me where Simcoe is? I looked. Oh, Dave, you can. All right. Well, we'll get to that later then. We'll see if you're right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC2, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE09589, granting the request of Valley Grain Milling, Inc. to operate a 232,000 bushel grain warehouse at Beulah, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
The facility was purchased from Modern Grain, who discontinued business operations in July 2009.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE09606, granting the request of the Arthur Companies to operate a 210,000 bushel grain warehouse at Buffalo, North Dakota, effective August 20th, 2009.
Second.
The facility was purchased from Buffalo Farm Supply, who discontinued grain elevator operations in August 2009.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And TC4, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between the filing of letter of intent and the citing of an application to 2 weeks, and assess a filing fee of $65,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU09587, Elite Inc.'s proposed 230 kV transmission line in Oliver and Morton counties of North Dakota.
Second.
This particular letter of intent relates to the wind farm that we actually had a hearing on just yesterday in New Salem. It's a facility which will connect the proposed 75.9 megawatt Bison 1 wind project in Oliver and Morton counties to the Square Butte substation, thereby allowing that power to get where it needs to go, or at least helping with it. It is a transmission facility that is approximately 22 miles long from where the wind field is to the existing Square Butte substation.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
Commissioner Paul.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission approve the 2008 natural gas earnings sharing refund filed in compliance with the commission order in Northern States Power Company's natural gas rate increase application, case number PU06525. Basically, what we have is on June of 2007, the commission approved the rate increase settlement agreement between the staff and NSP requiring a sharing of profits earned above 10.75 return on equity. NSP reported return on equity of 11.45 year-ending 2008, and they proposed a refund, a total refund of roughly $159,000. We've reviewed the filing, and I would recommend approval. The average residential refund will be at $1.50. And if you want to figure this out for all the users, it would be 0.16% of total gas charges in 2008. The ask some questions about exactly, you know, how this occurred. Basically, the earnings reflect the higher-than-anticipated sales of natural gas this past winter. So they sold more gas than they were expecting to, so collected more revenue. The largest increase in sales was in the commercial sales. And it was more so that than it was residential, because the residential, we've got a rate design that helps level that off a little bit. The total number of customers, 38,985 residential, 66,000 commercial. And also, too, if the checks are not cashed or claimed within 12 months, all unclaimed property goes to the state of North Dakota and go into the Common School Trust Fund and the benefit kids K through 12.
This goes to show that if you have a cold enough winter, a company can actually make more than their return on equity allowed.
The way that our settlement was structured, it was such that any time in the calendar years 2007, 2008, or 2009, if Xcel's earnings were above 10.75% up to 11.25%, 50% of that excess was returned to customers for money that was above or earnings above 11.25%, then customers got 75% of that money. So in this case, both of those thresholds were met because they earned 11.45.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That concludes the items in my portfolio.
All right, that completes our agenda. Just a few upcoming meetings perhaps to highlight. Tomorrow we will be meeting with Xcel Energy officials as well as external review company, GEM, to discuss the review of their billing process. As you know, we've had a few problems over the years. Xcel has had a few problems over the years getting their billing process straightened out. So a third party or an external company has reviewed that and will be presenting their findings to the commission tomorrow. Then on September 2nd, we will be meeting with federal officials from NIST to talk about how we move forward with the closure of the metrology lab. Other than that, everything's pretty well self-explanatory, I think, in the announcements. Any questions?
How are the customers going to get the is it going to be a check or is it going to be
carbon credit? Carbon credits. No.
On our next bill, there will be a line item that will say $1.50 or whatever the amount is refunded back off their bill. So it will just be in their billing statement.
I was confused as you mentioned if they didn't cash their check within so many months, it would become state property. There isn't going to be a check, is there?
Well, if someone is not a Xcel customer any longer, there's no way to credit back their account. So they'll have to track them down, mail them a check. And that was my question is, okay, what if – you know, if somebody was a customer in 2008, they're no longer a customer, they've moved to Texas, and we can't track them down, what happens to that dollar amount? Then that's where, after a period of 12 months, it goes to the North Dakota.
I'm hoping Xcel doesn't spend a tremendous amount of time tracking down people for $1.50.
Have similar payments such as this been gone to customers who have...
Well, I was just trying to think if since I've been here, if that's been the case. And for the most part, it's always been fairly understood that there are just certain consequences to the cycles of moving in and out of territories and whatnot. And it's traditionally been my observation that the practice has been, you know, kind of too bad, so sad. But so this is a little bit new with me. But
there have been, frankly,
much larger, yes. Yes.
Now we've got $1.50, and they're going to chase down somebody who used to be a customer. Is that something that the commission is requiring?
I have to admit that this is news to me.
Well, that's what the law says. It says that if we, after a period of 12 months, it goes back to the unclaimed property in the trust, the state of North Dakota, in perpetuity, and then eventually that money can go towards a common school trust fund. The point that I asked was is that, you know, if a company has overcharged the customer and there's revenue to be on the table, it should not stay with the company. That's the point of having the rate design. It needs to go somewhere else. So it goes back to the state. And it, you know, this was set in place long before I got here, and I think that's why I asked the question, because you know, $10,000 is $10,000, and it could be that amount. You never know. It could be $500.
Their filing just indicates that the refund will be appears a one-time bill credit. I'm not sure about whether they'll be actually applying it based on past usage or if it'll just be a one-time bill credit to all customers current.
Clear, is the commission requiring that Xcel Energy track down entitled to a profit sharing payment who are not customers anymore?
That is the
requirement of the commission.
That's a requirement of the way it was set up. And when I asked Excel how their protocol is, that's what they do all the time. If someone is a customer and they move away, they stay in contact with them for 12 months. They have their own procedures in place to follow. So it's, you know, these are their procedures that are set up, but also the trigger is that it'll come back to North Dakota law.
Dale, I'd have to go back and look at that order. I don't recall one way or another if it specified exactly how it would happen.
But I don't think it does. That's why I was asking the question.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it did.
Anyway, how much money are we talking about here that's going to be dispersed in total?
$159,000 in total, approximately.
And that's to all residential, commercial, everyone?
Correct. Roughly, 38,985 residential, 6,658 commercial and industrial.
I'm sorry, could you repeat those figures again more slowly?
38,985 residential, 6,658 commercial/industrial.
6,658 commercial and industrial, and 38,985 residential customers are going to be splitting up 150.
It's I think it's
this is just for gas customers.
What Dave is saying, I agree, is that I do not think that XL Energy has twice as many commercial industrial customers as it does residential customers.
No, it's 6,600.
Okay, we're just talking about number of customers.
Just number of customers.
Okay. Yeah. 6,658 commercial industrial customers, 38,985 residential customers.
Right, but the total refund amounts are residential, $60,028. C&I, commercial and industrial, $72,467.
$72,467.
Right. And then interruptible customers, $26,110, for a total of $158,605.
How many? There's at least, I think, two other profit sharing arrangements that are in
Well, they're not always profit sharing per se. But, I mean, the one that I always think of course, is off-system sales, that which is a more common sharing of revenue, and that relates more to obviously to electricity, and relates to those vertically integrated companies that sell some electricity off-system, and so there's a mechanism for that. And so beyond that, I'm trying to think if beyond return on equity, if we have some, are we?
Who has a revenue sharing plan that's?
You might be recalling the old your
MDU,
your favorite thing, MDU, the PBR plan.
Yes, the good old days.
The good old days of PBR.
But there is the MDU electric rates, aren't they?
That's a little different.
It
that's
is different.
That's not a straight revenue share. If you meet a certain threshold, that had to do with there's a bandwidth in which they can earn, but if it falls below, then customers catch up. If it falls above, it's okay, they get some back.
Excuse me. Earlier there was mentioned that if it falls within a certain range of return on equity, and then there was a percentage that went to the customer, what was that percentage?
Mm-hmm. It's 50% between 10.75 and 11.25, I believe.
Yes.
And then over.
5% over.
Okay, so this money that is being refunded to customers represents 50% of the excess, if I can call it that?
Well, 50% of the excess earnings between 10.75 and 11.25, and 75% of the earnings over 11.25.
And there were some, because it was 11.45. Yeah.
And just, if I could throw it out there, Dale, what I think is significant about this is that the commission in their decision process back in 2000 set a procedure in place that kept an eye on the amount of money that Excel was recovering from customers. And that has now come into play, that what the dollar amount is, it's a significant amount, but it's the fact that there's a safety valve in there with the commission put in place that came to play now. I think that's what's significant about this whole deal.
Given gas prices presently and the trends thereof, what is the chance that this will be repeated at this time next year?
It has more of a function of the weather than it is the gas prices, quite frankly, because remember that we decoupled volumetric use from the ability to earn money off it, which makes us even that much more interesting, the fact that they've exceeded the return on equity when the cost of the gas itself, the volume, is a pass-through largely. So clearly it's not 100%, but we're striving for that.
At least on the residential side.
Right. And
what drove a lot of this was the commercial side, where we don't have that same rate design.
So in other words, you know, I'm a customer reading this, your message to them is that this doesn't, what the price of gas is, doesn't really matter as far as whether you get a payment from this, and also what your consumption is.
Well, actually, it does.
Consumption's what drives
consumption is what does drive
because,
it.
Because the company derives a portion of their earnings from the actual sales of the amount of gas that they sell. In a very high-use year, like we had with a very cold winter, the company made a little bit more than they normally would have, so customers are getting some of that back.
But the residential customers are benefiting because increased use of the industrial users. That's really what it comes down to.
If there is a earnings below 10.75% on equity, is there any impact?
No. I don't think there's a bottom catch-up, is there,
it's just
Mike?
As I would tell you.
I mean, if they earn below, they get to come in for a rate case.
Right, right. 10.75 is a reasonable floor and ceiling.
Could you talk about what you expect from the meeting about the external review of the billing process with XO Energy tomorrow?
Well, I would hope they would come through with some of the questions we asked back when we laid it out. We had some pillars of, I can't recall all of them off the top of my head, but we asked them to go and look at Xcel's billing procedures, ways they thought it could be improved. We asked them to look at system reliability on the equipment, if they tested their equipment before they actually fielded it. We also asked them to use their expertise in industry to figure out ways that Xcel could prove their billing procedures, because quite frankly, being here since January, I've heard nothing but billing problems out of Xcel, and it's got to stop. So you know, we requested they have someone come and look at this, and I'm looking forward to their results. And then the follow-through is what the company recommends. We'll have to sit as a commission and figure out if we actually direct them to do it or if the company's willing to do it themselves. But the billing problems continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I heard you correctly. Either you direct them to do it or the company does it themselves.
Well, that would be a possibility. I mean, I would hardly imagine that the company is going to lay out a bunch of recommendations and Xcel says we're not going to do those. But if they would do that, and we would, as a commission, think they're appropriate, then I suspect that would be a logical course to follow.
There certainly seems to be a strong commitment, clearly a strong commitment by the commission to clean up Xcel's billing problems, and there seems to be equally a strong commitment on Xcel's part. Hopefully, after tomorrow's meeting, we will see the results of that, answers to the questions that we've asked, and a proper process moving forward. One of the questions I hope to get answered is the magnitude of this company, has it made it inefficient in its billing processes? And you know, we're such a small part. We, being North Dakota customers, are such a small part of their overall business that I often have concerns that what are little problems to a huge company, that are big problems to a small state, create a cultural clash that's not reconcilable. And so I hope that we can find an appropriate answer to those questions.
Well, case in point, I met with the mayor of Thompson a while back, and they had, 80 customers had problems in Thompson. That's not a significant number for Xcel Energy, but that's a significant number for Thompson, North Dakota. So,
that's a good illustration.
And that's what really first brought things to my attention, but knowing that Kevin and Tony have been working this a long time, that it was, either they do it themselves or we will, I would be directing them to do it. And this is a serious deal. They provide a lot of gas and electricity to a lot of people in this state, and if they're not billing it correctly, the second and third effects are huge.
When do you expect Minnesota Power to begin constructing this power line?
When
would they like to?
Indications are they'd like to begin constructing it perhaps as early as this year, late this year, but perhaps next year. The wind farm itself that it's connecting is not anticipated to go online until, at least the first phase of it, until the end of next year, 2010. So they have some time, but I think they've indicated that they'd like to begin construction fairly soon.
Were there any unusual issues about the wind farm?
Yeah, no one was there to protest it.
Yeah, that was probably the most remarkable thing about it was, yeah, I mean, there really was not a large turnout. In fact, probably much smaller turnout than we've usually seen at these wind farm siting hearings.
How many folks?
Of the public, there were probably, I would say, half a dozen, something like that. Yeah, 4 to 6.
Aside from the public, who else shows up?
Well, you've got the attorneys for the applicant. You've got folks who are interested in wind development generally, some of them from other companies or development companies. There were probably a total of 15 people, something like that. So, yeah, I would say industry types outnumbered the general public at that one. There was no concern expressed from any landowners, either participants or non-participants. There was one outside bit of testimony. It was from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Terry Ellsworth is a biologist with them who has testified at other hearings. Was there as well and talked about how Minnesota Power has worked with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as part of this habitat conservation plan that's being developed throughout the Great Plains corridor. So it, you know, that was really the only outside testimony that we received.
Keep in mind, it has become a relatively small wind farm, at least that phase of it. And so there, I think there were only a handful of landowners even involved in the project. So that obviously plays some role in it.
One of the questions that and I've said it now in, I guess, three, four of these hearings, but one of the questions I asked for a late-filed exhibit was that in this particular case, there's the potential to have wind turbines on top of coal reserves. So I asked that they submit a late-filed exhibit to see exactly what that profile looked like of where the turbines are at to where the coal is, because at some point in the future, it seems reasonable they might be going after that coal with the turbines on top. So just to see where that's at and to see what discussion comes out of that, I think that's just a good use of resource planning.
Again, about the NSP XL Energy refund, do you have any idea when this money will show up on a customer's bill?
Within 60 days of today's motion, it should be the customer's.
It'll depend on their exact billing cycle.
And if I wanted to try to figure out what my share of this was, and I had my bills, how could I do that?
Take the total bill for 2008 times 0.16%. And that should be the amount that comes back to you.
And then go put something on layaway. I wish we had more for you today, Dale.
Well, I felt kind of scared. I was a little late.
You're going to miss the sexy stuff? Yeah.
By the way, Simcoe is north of Delta.
Very good. And south of?
No.
Well, Canada, but that's
not right. But do you know why I know Simcoe?
Oh, why is that?
Because it's close to Verendry.
Oh,
sure. Town, mm-hmm. And there is the David Thompson Memorial.
Oh,
that's
certainly.
Right. That's right.
The middle of field.
I was the town I was looking for was Granville, south of Granville, north
it's
of Delta.
South of Granville,
in what county?
McHenry.
Yes, very good.
Okay. Anything else, Dale?
And if you go out online, there's even pictures of it under like ghosttowns.com.
Has anybody been talking to Tony about the inability of a certain baseball team that he supports to beat
anyone?
To beat the worst team in the National League.
It's not just the worst team, the worst teams in the National League. No, wait, they beat the Washington Nationals, which truly is the worst team, right?
Last night.
Oh, didn't they last night? Oh, I didn't see the score. I thought you were referring to the Padres.
Oh, no.
Which was another.
It's such a sore topic that most of us are afraid to bring it up.
Well, the other problem is that most people around here are Twins fans and are really in no position to be talking about.
aren't they on a six-game winning streak?
Yeah. After a 12-game losing streak.
All right, it's time to shut this program down and sign orders, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes for our admin portion.